Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Aramar Tefio on blogtalkradio.com. And for the newest, latest, best in alternative media, go to thecommonsprojectnetwork.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience. Hello again and welcome to Feed Your Head, Nutrition for the Brain. Tonight, P.E. Nolan is with us and we're going to learn the real truth behind A Course in Miracles. Hello, Trish.
Hello. Hello.
I'm so glad to have you here.
I'm delighted to be here.
Well, you are like the first person I know who really knows A Course in Miracles. I mean that I personally know because, you know, for years now I've been seeing this huge book, you know, wherever you look online, you can see it. And it's really a big book also.
It is indeed. It is big.
It is. But it has a lot of parts to it as far as for the student, for the teacher, that kind of thing.
Yes. Yes, it's divided into three sections. There are just the regular text. There is the workbook for the students, which is where I started the course. My mentor, Max, always recommends to start with the workbook because the text, it prepares your mind for just some of the stuff you're going to read because the text is pretty intense, and it's also... I don't know, I heard somebody once said it was written in iambic pentameter. I never checked to make sure, but I can say it's hard to read.
Okay.
The workbook, on the other hand, is much easier to approach. It's much more approachable. And, you know, you can start the text whenever you want. It's not going there anywhere. Then there is the manual for teachers in the back, and some versions have a couple of other addendums, like a definition of terms, that sort of thing. But the point that is made by the course, and I'm going to use the word God because to me it's a shorthand for a lot of a process. It's kind of like a verb to me. But I know a lot of people just hear the word and freak right out, you know, because we're going to talk about God, but God is in this book. And the point of the manual for teachers is that we are all teachers of God. And because coming from the perspective that God is nothing more or nothing less than love, that means you are love, I am love, we are all just love. And if we are going to be that love, we take it with us wherever we go, and consequently we become a teacher of God or a teacher of love. All we're doing is spreading the love, expanding the love. That's what we're supposed to do.
Right. Well, like you say, I mean, if we are that, then we take it wherever we go. There's a book called Wherever You Go, There You Are. It's a good Buddhist book.
Well, the thing that, you know, I always look at the course, and I joke, but it really is true, is like I feel like the course is kind of what you would get if Jesus and the Buddha went out and were in the wilderness for a time and were just tripping.
Okay.
And tripping and coming back, because it's kind of like I don't know if everybody's done this, but some people may have done LSD in college. When that happened, you know, and Timothy Leary and all these people, everybody was looking at it as a consciousness expanding thing where we can access our real self. The Beatles were all into it, singing Love Is All You Need, right? This was the whole thing, was just love yourself. It's all about self. And so that's also the point of a course. And from what I understand of Buddhism, I haven't studied it. Largely what I get is just through conversation or somewhat diluted in yoga class. But it's very similar in terms of just taking a breath and aligning yourself with spirit or source or whatever you want to call it. And there you you go. There you are. It's all right there in that breath.
Well, I wanted to just find out how you found this course or how it found you, you know, when the student's ready, the teacher and all that. How did you get involved in the course?
You know, well, I had heard it mentioned. My friend Max, who is now, he's a mentor for A Course in Miracles. He also does a lot of things about attracting positive results, working with Law of Attraction. But more of an Esther Hicks kind of way, not the secret kind of way. I know that there's sort of a distinction in that that genre, whatever you anyway, that topic. But anyway, Max does all this. And so Max cut my hair like 10, 15 years ago. We got to know each other because he was doing my hair. And then one day we just started talking about for some reason the course came up. I don't know why the course came up, but it just did. And that was probably the first time I heard about it. And then once I heard about it, you know, then I would, you know, somebody else mentioned it, a guy I knew that was a preacher mentioned that somebody, he was a Lutheran minister, and he had a family member who was all into the course, who thought he was just like totally full of shit, which was really funny because the course make a very big distinction, huh?
The minister thought that his family member was full of shit?
No, the family member who did the course thought the preacher was full of shit because he was coming from ego all the time, as religion often does. And so anyhow, you know, which is a different point about the course and Christianity, even though it uses that language, it's not what is typically perceived as Christianity in this country today. But I heard about it from him, and then Eckhart Tolle mentions it in The Power of Now. Marianne Williamson, teaches the course, and Max, when I started doing a little more spiritual work with Max, when we went beyond highlights, Max recommended I read A Return to Love by Marianne Williamson, and she's all about the course. And so once I read that, I kind of let it percolate for a while, and I just got it and did it and jumped in, and I'm glad I did.
Yeah. Well, now, right, when I think of Marianne Williamson or see her name somewhere, automatically I think of Course in Miracles.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, I mean, I've read a couple of her books, and no, she's definitely a proponent. Now, tell me, how did it come to be, though? I mean, like, she didn't write it or anything.
She had nothing to do with that. She's just teaching it. And in fact, Max, when she first started, Max was in her living room learning, and now she's become this big, you know, international speaker on Course in Miracles. But it's funny. I mean, Max used to go on the hay rides with Louise Hay because he was just one of those people out in L.A. at the time. So, I mean, Max is astounding and amazing, and anybody who wants to do this, I would heartily recommend just, follow him on Facebook, and you'll learn a lot. But anyhow, Marianne, the course,
I've heard that word used.
Yeah, legend has it, the way they tell it themselves, is like in 1977, the course was supposedly channeled to some shrinks up at Columbia Presbyterian Hospital. There was some conflict in their department, and this particular psychiatrist and her boss were working on finding a solution to the conflict in their department, and all of a sudden, like, zing, the course just is, like, beamed to her, and I think they blew off work for a year, and she just wrote down the course, and then they copied it. Now, for myself, I mean, I think that I'm not a person that just, like, jumps right into this, like, channeling stuff. You know, that's not, you know, but I do believe that literature can be divinely inspired. I think A Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is probably divinely inspired. Certainly Kurt Vonnegut, although he wouldn't say so. But there are plenty of people. There are lots and lots and lots of books that are amazing books. And so why does one get to have more value than another? So maybe they're all channeled. What do I know? Okay, I'm just looking at this book, and I mean, it could be, maybe it was channeled, maybe these psychiatrists were working with, psychotropic drugs and hallucinated the whole thing. I don't know. All I know is there's this book in my hand, and here it is. And so I think that the reason I make the distinction is because the minute you open the book and you start reading a text, you have to willingly suspend your disbelief, because this is Jesus talking to you.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So you got to get your head around the fact that Jesus is talking to you. And so that can take some doing.
That would be the one thing, or one of the things I wouldn't have a problem with. And I think it just goes back to, I mean, even though I'm profoundly pagan and all now, but I grew up in a Christian church, and I've never had a problem with Jesus in whatever form, whether it's like you were talking Jesus and Buddha out there in the wilderness smoking a bit or whatever, you know. I've never had the problem with Jesus. And some people I know, like you, that they just don't like that. They don't like the language. They don't like God, the word. I have a friend who, for years now, he bought A Course in Miracles, and he was going to faithfully do it, and he liked it. And then every time I see him, it's like, well, and he's, it's just too Christian for me. And that was the last time I saw him. He said, oh, it's just too Christian.
It's like I can see how that would happen, but there, I would say two things about that. One is that are we having a problem?
I have no idea what that is. It's nothing.
It sounds like rock and roll. Maybe it'll stop. There it goes. Okay, two things. One is that every word we use, whether it's...
Okay. Trish?
Yeah?
Oh, okay. I don't know. All I can think of, there might be some something in the neighborhood, I don't know.
You know, signals will interfere, and Mercury is in retrograde. So whatever,
exactly.
Man. I don't know. But every word we use only has, you know, all these words are just like lines on a page. The meaning of the word comes from us.
Exactly. What we give it, the power we give it.
The power we get, like money, okay? There's a word.
Yep. Right.
You know, pencil, it's a word. Chair, it's a word. You know, tree, that's a word. But if you see, you know, if we both imagine tree, maybe you're going to see a big sequoia and I'm going to see a little lilac, you know, a tree. Every word. And so that's why it's important, I feel, to start with the workbook, because the workbook takes you through a series of exercises that's going to deconstruct your own perspective.
Okay.
So that once you deconstruct your own perspective, then and that's why this is also self-guided psychotherapy, because if you're going to, and the reason, and I had a lot of therapy for a lot of years, being a New Yorker, it's what we do. Okay. Therapy, traditional psychotherapy typically focuses on what's wrong with you and how your ego is acting and interacting with other people's ego. So it's really world oriented. It's not necessarily spiritual unless you have a unique therapist. And we're going to be looking at fixing what's wrong with you, right? Whereas the Course is saying, you know, you're perfect. You are as God created you, and you are perfect the way you are. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not holding grievances or things that are clouding your light. As if, you know, I think one thing that Osho is known for saying is that we're all up there like the blue sky all the time. It's always there. But clouds cover it all the time, right? But it doesn't make the light go away. It doesn't make the sky go away. It's just clouds. Yeah. You know, that those clouds can be a lot of things for, you know, many, many attitudes. But anyway, so that's one thing. And then the other thing about the Christian stuff and what happens, you our ego, the word, I think the Course uses ego in a different way than psychotherapy typically uses the word ego, so that in Course thinking, in the gestalt of the Course, go into your mind, and I know we do this in yoga too. You have your, you know, you have your spirit mind, your real authentic self, and then you have the chatter, the monkey mind.
Your monkey mind.
Yeah.
Oh, the monkey mind. The monkey mind.
So that's going to be your ego, right? So we've got spirit and ego both live in our mind. The Course will say that, you know, the whole fall from grace and all this stuff you read about in the Bible is just nothing more than the idea that we are disconnected from God. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we are feeling alone and isolated, that's where the ego comes in, because the ego wants to be unique. And the best way to be unique is to be isolated and separated from every single one of your brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And so the ego works to keep us separate. Spirit wants to connect, and I think this is essential in terms of consciousness shift and paradigm shift and all the stuff that we're experiencing now in the world, moving toward connection. What happens is your ego will find anything to grab onto to say, well, let's not go there. Let's not go there. Don't join. Don't connect. We need to be separate. So some people are going to stumble on the language. Some are going to stumble, you know, whatever. Ego is masterful at finding ways to keep you isolated and separate. And so your friend, I would suspect, would say, like, okay, it's so Christian, I can't even read it, because the ego doesn't want him to read it. The ego wants him to remain separate and alone and sad.
Yeah, because some people actually seem to be comforted by being separated. I mean,
I mean, Eckhart Tolle talks about this in The Power of Now, is how we will do enough be self-reflection to identify our neuroses, if you will, and then when we point to them, then that's we become our problems, right? We become
right,
our situation. And that's your whole identity, is whatever your problems are.
Yeah.
That's not your identity. Your identity is your true and essential spirit that's eternally lasting, in the energy that we come in and go out of this world, right? We're
right
here in this plane, in this body. And our bodies, we have them so we can communicate with each other. And so from that's where I've found there to be a dramatic similarity between the worldview or the perspective, whatever you're trying to get to in your mind, the kind of peace that he talks about in A Course in Miracles, and the same thing that Osho talks about in all the stuff, the mind-body-spirit stuff. Osho is just, I mean, I'm just always been curious about Osho, and he wrote The Mustard Seed, and then I looked at some more from there. But what Osho has to say about body and connection, and I know people go all into tantric sex and stuff like that when they think about Osho, but it really is a great way to connect, right?
Oh, yeah.
And communicate. And if we're all about the love, wow, that's great, you know. So, I mean, I'm not saying A Course in Miracles says, you know, that's, you know, I think Osho tells a story about some guru who was in an area that they used for burning people. It was like, it wasn't a graveyard because it was India, right, and they're all cremated, but it's like all the ashes of the dead. It couldn't be more
mm-hmm.
untouchable. And this man who became a guru was like dancing there every day, jubilant, and because that was anyway, what his physical thing wanted to do, and uniting in the spirit. And so there's all that difference. And so, anyway, I need to pull back in on a point. I'm like, whoa, we got, you know, lots of things going on in my head right now. But Because there are so many swirling ideas, and they're all interconnected. And the Course, and Marianne will also stress this, A Course in Miracles is simply one path. That is, if you belong on this path, the path will call you. If you belong on a different path, you're already there and following it, and it's all good.
Well, what were you on before you and Max got beyond the highlights for your hair?
So what was I on? I was on antidepressant medication. I had gone through, there are plenty of people that think we can all make a case for having, you know, being an abused child. And so I have a history just like everybody else. That's what, you know, I was examining in therapy and how to come to that. And I was often suicidal. I struggled with suicidal depression for a long time. And that's why I was in therapy, and that's why I was on the meds. And over the course of the last 7 years or so, got divorced, got off the meds, did this, did that, and then have been able to come and stand on my own. And working with A Course in Miracles has been a way for me to be able to just take a breath and really, when I say take a breath, I that's just like really just like take a breath. The breathing, like in yoga or meditation, when you focus on that, it'll center you in the now. And that's the only time there is, right? There's no past.
Right.
The past is in our head. The future is speculation. All we have is now. And so get in the now and connect with just self, and then understand what it is you really want to do. And so the Course has given me the tools to be able to do that. And with the practice, I get the confidence. And the Course is just a practice like any other practice. Some people do mantras in the morning. Some people jog, you know. They do, like,
yeah,
whatever. Your practice is your practice.
Right, right. You incorporate it. And I do want to say we're talking with P.E. Nolan, Tricia, who you can find at www.menopausalstoners.blogspot.com, which is...
That's right. That is where you can find... Yeah, that's, you know, can I tell you, see, I mean, like, what I really do, what I love to do to meditate, I love to do a water meditation. And by that I mean I fill up my bathtub as deep as it'll go, which is deep since my bathtub was built in 1916. And I like to smoke weed and float in the bathtub and just like let everything just go. And then anything that's holding me back or bringing me down can just like go down the drain and release it. And so that's what we talk about at Menopausal Stoners. And so I don't know if that makes me like kindred Rasta or something, but I love to do that. But, you know, like Gandhi, I think he said his favorite place to meditate was on public transportation. I think he liked to do it on the bus. And, you know, I like to do that, too, because sometimes it's a lot easier to love these strangers around you than the people in your own house.
I'm glad you said that. That is so true. Sometimes those people that are so close to you that you live with or see all the time, they're the ones that you just want a bitch slap, and you love
them.
It's
tricky because when you're coming from love, you really have to just, like, take a step back and like understand, like, okay, if I'm mad and I want to do this attack, because the Course really talks about one of the main points I think the Course makes is about there's all this talk of forgiveness in Christianity, right? Forgive, forgive, forgive. And for the most part, this is an attack on somebody else to say, look at how superior I am to you. So I can forgive you. And it's all about judging you and condemning you and thinking you are lowly, and then how good am I to forgive you? And that is not that. That is not what forgiveness is about. Ultimately, when you're there's nothing we hate worse than our own vulnerability. And so if I'm going to walk around and think, God, he's such an asshole, what I'm really thinking is like, wow, I'm really vulnerable and I'm such an asshole. So anything I'm feeling bad about myself is thrown right back out as somebody else at an attack. even when you think you're being nice sometimes, you're really being attacking. And so the course, again, pulls you around to that. And it's really nothing more than, or nothing less, because it's huge, to be able to go to sleep at night at peace. Even though there's all this bullshit going down in the world. I mean, there's horrible things happen every day in the world. And, you know, I get into it with my atheist friends sometimes because you'll say, you know, you'll say things like, you know, this pile of dead bodies, and I'm like, well, God must be under all the dead bodies because he didn't prevent this. And there's nothing about God has to do with Grandpa in the sky. There's no God that can prevent that. And no God did that or didn't stop it. Only people did that. That's what people do.
Yeah.
And people make mistakes all the time. And that is maybe a big mistake, but, you know, it's the kind of mistake people do, and one of the things the Course always says, too, is that the way of the world is 180 degrees different from the way of the Spirit. And, you know, I look at Dick Cheney and Sarah Palin as probably the most dramatic illustration of how people act in the world. I think when people are coming from fear and ego, that's how you get a Zionist Israeli government. Because you're not going to see any more fear-based ego separation bullshit going down than they do. We're going to attack everybody until there's only us so we can be safe and separate.
Right.
You know, so you see it wherever you look, and all we can really do is change ourselves. And as I change, as you change, as our brothers around us change little by little, we join together and the world is a different place.
Well, that's it. We can only change ourselves and how we react to other situations. We can't change those situations.
No.
But when you're talking about forgiveness, I finally found that forgiveness is, it's not about that person who I feel wronged me. It's about me. I mean, whatever I think, it doesn't matter to them. But if I forgive them, I can get on with my life rather than holding all that negativity.
Well, yeah. And I mean, like, healing doesn't mean that whatever happened is okay. It may never be okay, but it doesn't have the power over you anymore. You are okay no matter how much went down in the past.
Exactly.
Because the past is gone. It only lives in your head, and you're the one that gives it power.
Right. So if you know, you can give that the whatever was done to you or whatever you perceive was done to you or the person who did it, you can give them enormous power, even if it was something that happened years ago.
And there'd be graveyard dead and still threatening you, you know, because it's so bad.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm the one that chooses if that event is going to ruin my life.
Right, exactly.
That's my choice. That was not their choice. I might have, you know, somebody might have done something to me that had lasting repercussions, but I'm the one that can make it go away.
Right. And
I'm the one with that power. And the Course is about that. And again, it's just one path. Plenty of spiritual paths say the same thing.
Sure. I mean, and whatever really resonates with you, this is the one that is with you. And I wanted to ask, because you are very open, were you always, or has that had something to do with the Course?
I tend to, once I get comfortable, I mean, I'm shy in the beginning like everybody else, but I think that, I feel like now, I mean, I know we're on a radio show and people are going to listen, but I forget. I think I'm just talking to you on the phone.
Yeah. We're friends.
You know, so I'll tell you stuff because we're girlfriends, right? Blah, blah, blah. And sometimes, you know, I mean, sometimes I think the nice thing about the anonymousness, anonymity, say that word for me, we can feel anonymous on that. We can hide on the internet. We're invisible. So yeah, I can be open. And I don't, you know, and I don't mind. One thing I learned, I mean, after I was in the loony bin about, I don't know, 17, 20 years ago almost now. And, you know, one thing I noticed when I came out of the loony bin, and I always, you know, I first used to mark the anniversary of, like, today is the day I went in the loony bin. And then about 5 years after I had been there, I was like, you know what? Today is the day I got out of the loony bin. They didn't have to let me out, right? So, I mean, it's like, okay, that's behind me now. Let's celebrate the moving forward. And, but what I found was once you admit that stuff, or kind of like maybe you had an eating disorder and spent several years with your head in the toilet, you know, any of these things that are terrible secrets that we carry as if we, you know, as our shame, that you, once you start admitting it, it's like, oh, wow, I did that, or you're going to see similarities. I mean, one of my very best girlfriends was bulimic and spent a number of years with her head in the toilet. And there's a lot that's similar to that, the feelings about that put her in that place that had me, you know, standing on the terrace looking over or reading the bottle of Drano looking for the, is this going to kill me? And, geez, that's going to hurt. Maybe I don't want to do that. You know, but I mean, when you're there, you're there. And I fully believe that ego is what pushes us there because we're so terrified of looking at ourselves. We're terrified that we're as bad as we think we are. When really, if you look close, you're going to see the light. And what's there is so glorious and so cool that, you know, the best place you can be is beside yourself. Like if I was like falling apart and fully beside myself. And when I got to that place, I looked and in fact, there I was beside myself and it was okay. I was okay. It was, you know, the light shines in. I'm like, all right, this is good. Life is good. You know, that doesn't mean I have every day is good. Some days suck balls. But, you know, at the end, you can have some peace. And that's, for me, the Course made that possible.
Okay.
You know, just coming around. Because it really is just all in your head. So control your head.
We're living, control your head. You manifest your life. That way. Well, now you call Max, besides your highlighter, besides your hairdresser.
My Max the psychic hairdresser is what I call him on my blog, but he's really a mentor.
So he is a mentor. Now, how does that work? Because the Course is a self-study.
The Course is a self-study. You can find online groups. You can find groups in your town. There are lots of ways to connect with other people that are doing the Course. The reason, it's you'll have a lot of questions as you're reading it, like, what the hell does this mean? it's the kind of thing, like, you have to read the sentence over 3, 4, 5 times out loud sometimes to think, like, what the hell did he just say? That's why I think it sounds like he's tripping, because I'm like, he's got to be tripping because I don't understand a word this man is saying. And so you try and you try. And then finally, maybe you get it, maybe you don't. And so it's nice to have somebody to talk about that with. Now, I was in a position that I had resources, so I could have a coach, right? But you don't have to pay somebody to do this. You can do it on your own. And there are plenty of groups that talk about it or meet online or just meet in all different ways. I think it's the Foundation for Inner Peace has a Facebook group. And you can just go on their Facebook, and you can just like their page or go on, and it'll give a discussion on A Course in Miracles or videos and things like that just to come to some clarity. I think the good thing about Marianne, and Marianne has a lot of different books where she talks about weight loss or compensation at work, but she's looking at all of it through a Course perspective. She even talks about, you know, like going through menopause and that change of life through a Course perspective. But what that does is make it really approachable in a way that you can apply these things that might be so abstract that you need to pull it down to a concrete example of somebody's real life. And Marianne's really good at throwing out a few examples of her life, and then you can find them in your own. So that's why I used a mentor. And also for me, it was a nice way. I mean, I was in therapy for so long. It was a nice way to sort of segue out.
Okay.
So it was a hell of a lot cheaper than therapy, that's for sure. It gave me a way, and the nice thing is to just focus on your own questions as opposed to, you know, but he does a group too, and a lot of people do.
Well, so that's what I was going to say, that the people who actually wrote this, the shrink and her boss, they really, I mean, they're getting money off of selling the books, I suppose, but
no,
it's kind of
not them, no.
No. No, okay.
No. I mean, they pull back. They don't even reveal their identity if they can help it. They don't. That's not the point. Now, that's not to say that there won't be people out there making a bunch of money off of anything they can. There are snake oil salesmen
People are everywhere. But
you know,
came up with don't really – I mean, I was going to say that, you know, even if they do make some money off the book sales, they're not out there pushing this anywhere. And so they're
that's true. I mean, it's not like, you know, sometimes you can go to these seminars or like Landmark or something, and it turns out to be, or Avatar, I think, you know, it'll turn out to be like some pyramid scheme where you have to keep paying money, or you become a teacher, and the next thing you know, you might as well be selling Amway instead of spirituality and self-awareness.
Right, right. Yeah.
You know, so that's the course doesn't operate like that. The foundation's there. They get the books. I mean, but listen, this giant book was like $35.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And that's it. I mean, that's like you can't hardly buy it. I mean, that's any fat book in Barnes & Noble is going to cost that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and everything online is free. I mean, the groups get together. There might be a donation for space or something. Certainly if somebody's going to do an individual coaching thing, that's like life coach stuff or whatever you're going to pay a professional for. I like a massage personally, but you know, it's the same sort of thing. But it's not this big, when it says self-guided, it means self-guided, and you'll figure out what works for you. It's never, to my knowledge, it's never been a money-making venture. I mean, even any more than Marianne is. I mean, I've seen Marianne several times. She talks, for free in Los Angeles all the time, and you know, the books cost money, and she makes a living off the books. Like that's how we do it in the country, and that's what we do.
And I mean that's fine. I've read some really good things about her as far as things that she does.
You know, she's been, but one of the things that Marianne has never been shy about saying is like, if you're a spiritual person, you must be involved in making the world a better place in a way that works for you. Marianne has done a lot of work with hunger and poverty in Africa, with the UN. Marianne does a lot with empowering women around the country. Marianne just decided to run for Congress. I don't know what she's doing out in L.A., but she's running for office. I think that'll be interesting. I mean, I'm not a person that believes you can fix the system from within the system. I'd like to just see it all just like, you know.
Here's the system down.
If we could just wake up tomorrow and I don't care if it looks like Planet of the Apes, can we just start over, please? Really, my fantasy is that we could all just wake up the day before Ronald Reagan was president. That would be my fantasy. But anyhow, Marianne thinks you can change the system from within, and she's going for it, and I think that's really swell. She says that, you know, you shouldn't take the heart or the spirit out of politics. Politics should be an expression of our highest self or our most evolved self. I can't remember exactly what she said, but she's, you know, if she can pull this off, I'd love to hear her filibuster. And tell them all to sit down and quit acting like egomaniacs. It would be a beautiful day.
She's going at it or coming to it with great intent. I'm very curious as to how.
Yeah, I can't wait to see how this plays out. Love it, love it, love it. Or I should say I'm very eager because I don't want to say a negative and attract negative energy, right? Eager.
Right.
I'm looking forward to seeing how Marianne plays all this. It's going to be, you know, another interesting thing to watch in the world of electoral politics in America. But anyway, she so many people believe that if they're going to be spiritual, they need to focus only on self and get away from all the negativity that's in the world and withdraw from the world. And what are you going to – you're going to sit in your room and, you know, make your little meditation room and sit in there and burn your incense, and that's it.
And that is being in the pagan community, which, well, pagan is a quite a big umbrella word, but I've noticed so many people are that way. I mean, or they just don't want to talk about politics. There's so many airy fairies, and you know, they, oh, I'm just going to dance around. Well, shit, nobody likes dancing around the fire more than I do. But, you know, there's more. So we're part of this earth. We're part of this universe, this multiverse. We need to take care of it. We need to do whatever it takes.
Well, yeah, and it's like it doesn't have to be big. I mean, each one, teach one. That's all.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, so it doesn't have to be big. And it also, like, whether you're involved in an animal shelter or whether you're involved in a food pantry or just the things you watch, the things you listen to, the things you talk about your neighbor to, about your neighbor, you know, or talk to your neighbors about, you know, all of that stuff is an opportunity to expand your love, the love that is you, the light that is in you.
Yeah, that's right. And I know that now you recently, and I don't know about the past, but you have a new, I don't want to say student, you are mentoring someone.
Well, yeah, I guess you could say I have a little, a little student. No, she's coming to the course, and, you know, we just get together and take a long walk on Sundays and talk about it. That's it.
It's wonderful.
You know. But it's, again, it's the discussion, and I think that we find out also, just like when you were in school, like you can read something in a book, but until you have a conversation about it in the class with a couple of partners, that sort of solidifies the learning, hearing it come out in your mouth and go back in your ears, or I'll say, I didn't know what to think about that, what did you think about it, and maybe you got it, maybe you didn't, and then we'll work it out together, what does this mean for us? And the main thing is, through that, you're strengthening your connection with another person. And the relationship, and the course is going to say it 100 times, 1,000 times, God is in the relationship. The relationship with your brothers, there is God. And that connection, that is God. That's it.
Okay,
it's
okay.
Huge.
You know what? Okay, go right back to the Bible. When Jesus said that, where the two or three are gathered in my name,
right,
I am there.
And that's it, yes. And that's why, okay, like you had said about a cult in the blurb, I was like, oh, geez, I forgot we were a cult. You know,
that.
But see, the reason is, like, once you get it in your head, like, once you're reading the text, and you're hearing Jesus say things in this text like, you know, I get it why the disciples said that, but they were ego-driven, and that's not what I meant, and look at what happened. It's like you've been given a tool from Jesus Christ himself has just written a book or channeled a book to tell you that you can hold up at them, and it looks like a Bible. I mean, it's got gold letters on the front. Every damn sentence is numbered. It's like, here you go, chapter and verse. It looks like a Bible. And you can hold it up and look at any conservative Christian in this country and say, baby, you have made a mistake. You do not know God at all. Anybody who says God-fearing does not know God.
Yes.
God is, there's nothing to be afraid of. This is a great, loving energy throughout the world. I mean, the whole universe, there's nothing to be afraid of. And so people like Steve Harvey, you know, like you'll see people on TV saying, oh, go to church and get a good God-fearing man. Anybody who fears is not no God. And so I just think that there are so many things about, like, judgment and what does that really mean. And, you know, because there's this vengeful judging God. There's no vengeful judging God. That's your ego.
That is what, and so many people, I mean, how could a God, who a creator who loves us, sentence us to all these hellacious things that so many of these religionists are fighting against, their burning, flaming hell kind of thing? I mean, it makes no sense to me.
It's wrong. It's insane. And so essentially, you know, it is insane the way we treat this planet and each other, you know, the institutions and the corporations and all of that, the way we did that is insane. And so, and we're told that that's the right way to be, right? And that we're the crazy ones for calling it wrong.
Fear God, fear.
Fear God, fear your neighbor, fear that you're going to, you need to hoard everything you can find because, there's not enough. If you have health care, if we pay for your health care, I'm going to die. What the fuck is this about? When houses burn down over $75, you remember when that happened in Tennessee or Kentucky or some teabagging state like that, the people hadn't paid their $75 into the fireman's fund.
The
firemen stood and watched a damn house burn down over $75, all in the name of personal responsibility. And that is nothing but ego, okay? That's what this book could teach everybody. And that's a threat to the world. That is a threat to the status quo. That is a threat to capitalism. That is a threat to the church. That is a threat to the military. When we can stand up and say, just say no.
Right.
You don't have it right. You are wrong. And so you better believe the conservative Christians want to say we're a cult. Don't listen to those Course in Miracles people. Oh, no.
It's against what they have in their ego.
That stuff. It's like, because if we're going to take care of each other, it kind of goes back to everything you needed to know you learned in kindergarten, right? If you're going to take care of each other, this is how we act. If we're a community, we're going to take care of each other. Because...
Yeah.
That what you do to the least of us, you do to me. What I do to my brother, I do to myself.
Exactly. And I love you. You mentioned the whatever I needed to know I learned in kindergarten because you teach youngsters.
Well, yeah, I work with two-year-olds. I've worked with two-year-olds for about 25 years now.
My God.
Sometimes four, okay. Sometimes I'll be with big kids. Like four is about as much as I go. I always joke because it's they still believe I have some power. If they were seven or eight, then no, I can't do anything. So, I love it. It's just like such pure energy all the time that it's just so real.
Two-year-old, no, it has to be. Even if you have a bad day, somehow. They have to cheer you up.
God, you never have a bad day. They'll drive you crazy, okay, but they will pull you right out of your own head and into theirs. And then, talk about the power of now. There is nothing but now in a room full of two-year-olds, and they don't even know what next week is. It could be tomorrow, next week, next year, whatever. It's not happening now. So that's it. I love it. I love it, love it, love it.
Very energizing. It could be tiring.
They're fast. And they smell. Yeah, but that's okay.
But no, for 20-some years, you've worked with two-year-olds, so, man, yeah, well, you have to love it.
I do. And one of the things that, since I started doing the course, I've really come to appreciate the way that all our ego defenses, that by the time you're really, I've seen it as early as three or four, even ego stuff is already coming up. This defending, it's not really ego. It's there are hurts in the world. Things happen and it hurts our feelings and the way we develop our defenses, and that's our ego. And so when you're two, that's all not really happened yet. It's sort of before that. And so you can see how these things start forming. By a simple thing, when a kid will take a toy out of another one's hand, some kids will grab on it, it'll be a fight. Other kids will just start to stand there in disbelief that someone would do that to them, And so as they learn to navigate through the social situation, how is that going to have an impact on their development and on ego development and the sense of self and all of that? And I don't really know because I'm just kind of swimming in it going, oh, wow, check it out. But it's an interesting thing to have in your awareness.
Exactly, because you're not doing a study on it. You're just, aware.
You know, and if I were going to do that, I'd have to follow them until they became, like, 25 or something, you know. And I'm not, like, if somebody wants to say, like, anybody, let me just put it out there. Anybody wants to send me a ton of money to do that, I'll do that study. I'll be glad to do that study. I even have the credentials, and I can find an intern. But, but it's just really a nice way to be, because you can be really real and authentic. And I think that part of my challenge as I was becoming mature myself in my 40s was learning to be able to be with grown-ups as real as I was with little kids.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I could, yeah. That's,
you know, because grown-ups are scary. They say mean things. I mean, when I was I used to be in public relations when I first moved to New York, and some of these vice presidents were such, you know, jerks. And, I mean, and they think everything they're doing is just, like, so important, and really it's just, like, so stupid. And, I mean, we're talking about people who think, so what's a little dolphin in your tuna, you know, and we're paid to come up with, you know, shit to fix that, you know. And so it's they were horrible people, and I would be crying in the supply closet, you know, and I couldn't take it. And I had worked with little kids before, and so I went back to work with little kids, and that's where I can be my authentic self. And so as I learned that it was safe, that, you know, like, how do you communicate with grown-ups who you know, don't always listen with respect, or they don't listen with love, you know, or just with an openness. They don't listen. They've got their mind made up already before you even start to talk, and anything you say just confirms their bias, you know. And so grown-ups are tricky, and, you know, and also, I mean, when I look at the BP thing, I think that's a beautiful example of what a grown-up will do with the world. I hid with little kids for a long time, and then, you know, just – because also, it as it turns out, like, when I had my own trauma, I was 3. And so, I mean, that's something I learned about through psychotherapy, is that by working with little kids, it was very healing for me to put my own self back together, because I did get damaged when I was that age.
Okay. So this has been, it's just been a win-win. Because
absolutely. Because just by looking at them and the way they process their emotions, I could see how, this is where I got skewed, right? And this is where I need to go back to here and put it back together. And so, in a large degree, I mean, there's a big difference between childish and childlike. And so I feel very privileged and blessed to be able to spend my days with children and to continue to be childlike, as childlike as I can be.
Yeah. Well, and you're very you're a very good friend. You have friends that you have deep friendships with.
Heavens, yes.
Obsessive.
Yes, I do.
I don't know if you've always been that way. If the course has helped that along.
I think one thing that the course does help with is, again, you know, just like, take that breath and let's start the conversation from a place where we trust each other. Even if you don't know each other yet, let's just like one thing I think that Jesus must have said, you know, Jesus on the cross was probably, instead of like, Father, forgive them, was probably saying, like, God, they are such assholes. You know, it's like... Jesus really just says, can we not be assholes? Guess what? You have a choice. You don't have to be an asshole. You don't have to. And so if you start every conversation with everybody you meet with the idea that maybe they're okay, it changes the whole approach, you know. Maybe they are okay. Maybe they're just trying to get through the day just like you are, you know. And I think that... it may not have had anything to do with striking up friendships, but it certainly has had a way of strengthening them. And also, not so much, I think for me personally, it had to do with believing that I have something to contribute to.
Mm-hmm.
because a lot of times I think everybody else knows something and I don't know shit. And so I'm afraid to talk. I mean, that's where I was, actually right before I started the course. That was where I was, is that if I felt really strong, like I had to be ready to just like collapse or so emotional that I was in tears before I could tell somebody my true opinion. Otherwise, I would just tell them what they wanted to hear so I wouldn't have a conflict.
Okay.
Okay. You know, and this had to do with boyfriends, bosses, just anybody. Like if I could disagree 100%, like if my classroom, the people I was teaching with at that point, there were a couple of things that were going on that I just really disagreed with. But just like the way that my assistant was talking to the kids, for example, and because she was big buddies with the director, I didn't feel like I had the freedom to say what I really thought about her interaction. And so whenever anybody said, oh, how's it going, I'd say, to do anything to avoid a conflict. Because they have more power than me, right? And so from the course, or they have power over me. They could crush me, right? They could make me cry. They could fire me. They could do something to me. They could injure me. I'm afraid of them. And the course let me understand that that's the fear. And so instead of looking at them to say, oh, I love you, which is bullshit. I thought they were full of shit. I hated that thing, okay? I'm not going to look at her and say, oh, I love you and it's going to be good. I'm going to look at myself and think, you know what? I love you. And you have something to say. And what you have to say counts. And you're not an idiot. And you have a right to say that. So loving me, the course helped me love me. The course helped me forgive me for being afraid and being vulnerable. That's how we learn to be in the world because of the way the world interacts with each other. That's world stuff. That's not spirit stuff. And so I learned that my spirit's okay, and I have a right to say something sometimes.
Exactly. So, well, it helps then with self-empowerment.
Hell yeah.
That's
That just lets you know this is not any Christian thing. We cuss all the time. We say hell. We'll even say God damn it, you know, but all the bad words in a row, just like George Carlin. But really, it does. Marianne has a little video that she does, or sometimes it's the quote is attributed to Mandela, I believe. But our greatest fear is not that we are bad. Our greatest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure.
Fabulous and powerful. And yes, I've heard like a few variations in
our fear is that we can do things. We'll sit in the house and say, I can't do anything. I'm only one person. I can't do, I can't, I can't, I can't. That's our ego saying be separate. That's our ego saying hate yourself. To be able to move from self-hate to self-love, that's a miracle.
And
a miracle, all the miracle is the willingness to be able to see it in a different way. You know, I mean, like if you're Jesus, maybe you can, you know, cure people like they did in the Bible. But according to Jesus, and I think the Buddha said that too, I mean, that's their whole point, right? They're just regular guys. They're in a body just like all of us, right? Any of us can do that. Like maybe so, but like for me, a miracle is just, you know, speaking up or shutting up, depending on the case, you know, or taking a chance, taking a risk. Sometimes, you know, maybe I could have a relationship instead of I can't, you know, it's take the risk.
We're almost done. www.menopausalstoners.blogspot.com. is where Trisha writes. She also writes at Roundtree.
Just Google menopausal stoners and it's me. It'll come up.
Yeah, you write at Roundtree also.
I do.
So you do write and you just pretty much put it out there. But this has been great and I've learned a lot and I think we should do it again.
Well, I would love to. I love to do this. I love to sit in my room and think nobody's listening and yak away.
Okay.
Nobody but you, Ruth Ann, because I love you and it's okay.
This is good. And I want to say Happy New Year. Celtic New Year is coming up in less than a week.
Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. It is. I'm thinking this might be my best one ever.
I'm thinking so, too. And we're going to talk about that next time you're on because new relationships.
I don't know. Somehow I think we're going to have the Pico the Bear and P. Nolan, countdown to the apocalypse. So we'll see how that goes. I'm very excited.
Oh, Tim, our friend from Global Peace Radio, he's saying thank you to you. That's great. And
I'm glad there's somebody out there. I forgot to look at the chat room.
Really, we'll do it again.
Okay, beautiful. Thank you.
Just bye-bye. I don't see.